on the Seder. I think I mentioned once before that only twice in the Rambam do you have the idea of a Seder. The Rambam has in Perek Zayin Chametz HaMatzah, actually he mentions it in Perek Ches, Chametz HaMatzah Alach Aleph. He tells you that there's a Seder to the events that take place on Pesach night. I think I once mentioned to you not long ago that someone actually asked me this question many years ago. They wanted to know whether it's possible to make Kiddush on Pesach night and then proceed to the meal, because it's a din of Kiddush Makom Suda, which according to some Rishonim was a din d'oraisa. The Rashbam and Avraham Sochem quotes actually two different reasons based on the pasuk b'Tarasa l'Shabbos only l'Dosh Hashem Mechubad. The question is whether it's a din of the Suda, din of the Kiddush, but whatever the case is. And then after that, if I have the meal, then I can go and do Magid. Why can't I operate that way? So I told the person, it's not possible. I mentioned in the morning, because of the din of Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Olav Zvarim Harbei. The din is that Pesach night, the breaking of the matzah, which we do in the very beginning, the Rambam does it right before Amotzi, but we do it in the very beginning. Kadesh Ruchatz, Karpas Yachatz. So once we break the matzah, automatically that spurs and triggers on us very strong emotions that bring to bear, or bring to mind, if you will, the entire experience of Shiva Mitzrayim and the ultimate Gulas Mitzrayim. And our practice is, even though Yachatz is not mentioned in the Gemara, but the fact of the matter is that our meaning is to, shall we say, go ahead and break the matzah. It's actually mentioned in Rabbi Yosef Terelem, in his piyut, okay, Aruchos, he mentions actually this idea. And the truth of the matter is that the idea is based on what we say at the beginning of Haggadah. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Namely, if you remember, after Kiddush, then right away, of course, we have Karpas, Yachatz, and then right away we have Magid. What do we say in Magid? We're obviously addressing the Lechem Oni that we ate in Mitzrayim. And that's really the makor for this idea of breaking the matzah into two, which I mentioned to you a moment ago, was quoted by Rabbi Yosef Terelem. Now I told you, the Rambam Shita in Paraches is different. The Rambam holds that after Magid, before Amotzi, that's when you go ahead and you're supposed to do Yachatz. So the big Machlokes of Rishonim, it's actually Machlokes of Rabbi Yosef Terelem and the Rambam. And the Rambam does Yachatz, as I said, right before the Brach of Amotzi. We don't follow that position, but rather we follow the position of Rabbi Yosef Terelem, which is the position quoted Shaul Nachsh, actually quoted the Halacha. But I just want to comment a little bit on this Halach Ma'anya. So that's the reason why we break the matzah, because Lechem Oni, the Gemara says, Ma'adak Rishonim B'Prusa, Avkan B'Prusa. But now let's just read this piece in the Haggadah. We say, Halach Ma'anya, De'achalu Abasana, De'ar de Mitzrayim. And then we mention, Kol Dichvin Yesevi Echol, Kol Bitzvich Yesevi Yesach, Hoshata Ocha, Lashana Abba Ba'ar Yisrael, Hoshata Avdi, Lashana Abba B'nei Korin. So the Beis Halevi asks a very obvious question. The language of the Baal Haggadah is called Dichven Yesevi Echol. I'm not getting into the halachic issues that are involved here right now because it's a separate discussion. But the question is why we begin the halacha or the Seder with this passage of Halach Ma'anya, Yachalo Abbasan Le Arabi Mitzrayim. Ma Inyan Shmita, it's Har Sinai. What does this have to do with the Haggadah? Now it's true that unquestionably, the Gemara has actually in Tainus, the Gemara Daf Chof, the Gemara points out over there that Rav Huna every day would make this kind of announcement that whoever is in need should come and eat, and he invite them to the Suda, and not only invite them to the Suda, but in effect, it wasn't just Leil HaSeder, but in general, it was something. It was an open invitation to Aniyim to come and eat with them. But offhand, the question is, what is the nature of this Hakdama? So the Beis Halevi, Beis Halevi is the coach's grandfather, Beis Halevi, who has a long arichos on this question. And he points out that really what's embedded here is the mitzvah of tzedakah. You know that on Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch writes actually at the very beginning, the Rambam brings at the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, the Tav Chav Tes, the notion of Mo'os Chitin. You probably heard of that din. That's a separate mitzvah tzedakah that you give actually to Aniyim, Dafke Erev Pesach, so they can buy Chitim and Shmur Matzah, whatever they need for Pesach. And the Gaon actually says that the Makar is a Yerushalmi, but the Gaon claims that the Makar of this is really a Pasuk in Chumash. That the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, that the Torah says that Matzos Yeochel Eishiva Sayomim. Why that language? Matzos Yeochel. Yeochel is the Nifal. There are Pesukim that say Shiva Sayomim Tochal Matzos. But in Bo, the Pasuk says Matzos Yeochel shall be eaten. The Nifal. So the implication, says the Vilna Gaon, is that there's an obligation, as I pointed out, to give to others. And that's basically Holach Mahanya called Dichm Yesev Yeochel. Is the introduction, because we're talking here about the mitzvah of tzedakah, and the Beis Halevi claims that, in effect, if you remember, you undoubtedly do remember, unquestionably, that, maybe I should back up a little bit, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. The Mishnah says, Ein min Shabbos v'yom tev, elo eichel nevesh bolvad. What's the difference between Shabbos and yom tev? Eichel nevesh. What does that mean? That on Shabbos you're not allowed to do anything? What does the Torah say? The Ramban and Chumash points this out, that when it comes to Shabbos, has the Torah expressed the Isur of doing Malacha on Shabbos? Lo saseh, go Malacha. Masha'en came, what does it say with reference to Yom Tov? What's the Lashon of the Pasuk? Mikra Kodesh Yelachem? Excellent. Go Malacha Zavod Lo saseh. So the Ramban says that's a hint in the Chumash to this idea, to this Mishnah Megillah, that on Yom Tov you're allowed to engage in any kind of food preparation which involves Echol Nefesh. Because it says in the Pasuk, as I mentioned, called Malachas Abayda. Malachas Abayda means anything unrelated to what? To Echol Nefesh. Mashenka lo sasa, called Malacha, is a blanket Isa. Correct? And I'll do any kind of Malacha, whether it relates to Echol Nefesh or not Echol Nefesh. So that's how the Ramban sees the distinction between the two. So therefore, the Gaon writes, based on the Yerushalmi, again, based on the Pasuk that I just mentioned to you, Matzah si Ochel, Eshiva Sayomim, there's a remez here to the Mishnah Megillah. Namely, that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to engage in action, which of course has to do with preparation for Echol Nefesh, that's Mutar, on Shabbos, that's Asa. So now, what does that mean? That means that, and this is what the Beis Halevi writes already, that on Shabbos, a person can eat by himself. But on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat by yourself. Why? So the Beis Halevi quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says, Hilchos Yom Tov, that part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, there's no mitzvah of Simcha unless you are Mesameach Acheret. Unless you cause others to be joyous, unless you gladden the hearts of others. The Rambam says, if you don't gladden the hearts of others, then he calls the simcha, simcha sakeres. He translates that, the simcha of your stomach, as opposed to real simcha. So on Yom Tov, there's a chiv al pidin, but simcha by definition means what? The sameach acherim. Therefore, the Beis Halevi says that there's an obligation to invite aniyim, dafka, to mekayim the mitzvah tzedakah, because you can't be Sameach on Yom Tov without inviting others. And that's why the Haggadah begins, Polach ma'anyo de'achala avasana v'yara de mitzvayim, called Dichvin Yesev Yechol. That those who are hungry, let them come and eat, let them come participate. And as I said, that the Rambam says that in order to have Simchas Yom Tov, you must, shall we say, invite others. Now, there's no question that tzedakah is an integral part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. And unquestionably, I think I mentioned to you a number of times, that there's something that we say on Yom Tov, they don't say any other time of the year, Yisker. What's the makar of saying Yisker on Yom Tov? I think it's on Shol Shrigolim that the practice is to say Yisker. And usually when people say Yisker, they also have their Bavur Shenadar. You're supposed to give money, Le'ilui Nishmas, the people who passed away, your krovim, your relatives. But that money is being given dafka on Yisker. And I'll let you through that the reason for that is that's part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. That the Torah, in effect, is tells us that part of the mitzvah of Simcha is l'samech acherim, to include others, etc. But anyway, that's simply the pashup shot he called Dichman V'yesev Yechol. Comes the Beis Halevi and quotes the Pasuk Yishayahu. The Navi says, Shimru Mishpat V'asu Tzedakah Kikrov Yishuvasi Lava V'tzikasi Ligolos. Remember that Pasuk? We say it every time you see one. The Navi says, Shimru Mishpat, you should observe Mishpat, Mishpat referring to Mishpat. Law. Observe the law. Vasu tzedakah. Do tzedakah. Why? Ki krov yishuvasi lavo. So Chazal say, dola tzedakah, shemekarev sagula. That tzedakah is one of the mitzvahs that can bring about the gulas Yisrael. Now, you need tzedakah, a person can be zorcha to the gula. There's another pasuk. Tziyom v'mishpat yipadim shavev tzedakah. Remember that pasuk? That pasuk is also relevant because the going was opposed to saying what the Ramah pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. Uvnei Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. The Gaon says, what's the bracha? Bonei Yerushalayim Amen. What does the Ramah say? Bonei Berachamav Yerushalayim Amen. I see most of you follow the Ramah. You say, Bonei Berachamav, and the Gaon says, Bonei Yerushalayim. Another Shiva Tzara Shraga says like the Goyin. Bein Yerushalayim Omi. Why? So the Goyin says, because the Dovi says, Tzion b'mishpat yipod. Hashem promised he's going to be po de Tzion. We don't have to invoke his rachamim. It's not Tolya rachamim. It's mishpat. It's a chiyav. It's a yischayv. It's a rachamim. Baruch Hu promised us, Tzion b'mishpat yipod. That's a massive Goyin. That's correct. And therefore, Ayidei Tzedakah, one can be Zohar to the Geula. And Chazal says so many times, and you saw the Golel B'schus HaTzedakah, that we're going to, the Geula is going to come about because of the Schus of giving Tzedakah. And so to Halel Pesach, again, we talk about the Geula L'Sha'ava, that Hashem did in Mitzrayim, and obviously we say, Hashata Hocha, L'Shana Abba Ba'arad Yisrael. Now we are here, next year we hope to be in Eretz Yisrael, Hashata Abdi, now we are Abonim, L'Shana Abba Ba'arad. So B'schus HaTzedakah, we're going to be Mekav the Gulas. Here you have in Halach Ma'an, you're mentioning here two different, shall we say, Gulas. There's the Gula of Mitzrayim and the Gula of Asida. Correct? That's what we have over here. Therefore, as you know very well, that the Gulas Mitzrayim took place clearly as the Navi and the Baal HaGad himself tells us. The Navi means it's mentioned in the Navi, it's mentioned in the Chumash as well. You know, the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, you're probably familiar with it. Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem El Tziyam Eretz Mitzrayim Hu Alay Lazel Hashem. What kind of a pasuk is that? Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem El Tziyam Eretz Mitzrayim Hu Alay Lazel Hashem Shimurim L'Chamanes L'Nosa. Who was only operating that night of Lel HaSeder? Only the Baruch Hashem was operating. The Baal HaGad says, Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo Saraf, Ani V'lo Shaliach El HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kvodo V'Atzmo. It was only Hashem who was operating that night in Mitzrayim, and everyone else was totally, completely passive. The Rav used to quote a medrash. Very fascinating medrash. You know, the Rav is Kedarka Bakedesh. Wow, what's there to say? Is Moshe Rabbeinu anywhere found in the Haggadah? He's not found in the Haggadah. Is that true? Did you take a look at the Haggadah to see if he's found there? Look in the entire Magid after the Dal Banim and start with Masal Bignus and Messiah Mishavah, Mizchil Avi Abelazara, Hoy Abaseinu, and then Baruch HaMokam Baruch Hu. Arami Yavid Avi, Vayar Mitzvayma, and then all the drushes that Chazal had on those psukim. And finally, we get to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, correct? The Mechilta, that's quoted in Beshalach, and then of course Dayenu, as you are familiar with, and then Pesach Matzah Morah, and basically Magid is over, Moshe Rabbeinu is nowhere to be found. Isn't that amazing? That Moshe Rabbeinu is not to be found in Haggadah? If anyone was the Shiach of Hashem is brought to redeem Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he not found? The answer is, as the medrash that Rav Soloveitchik quoted, and also what I just quoted to you, Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo sarav, Ani v'lo shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu is a shiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu par excellence. But that night the shiach was not operating. There's a medrash on the Pasuk of Shir Hashirim. Many people say Shir Hashirim on Pesach night. When? After the Chag Gadya. And the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Akumana v'asobe v'abayir. I can't now say Shir on Shir Hashirim, which I would like to do, but that would take another many hours. But here the Pasuk says, Akumana v'asobe v'abayir. I'm going to get up and go around the city. V'ashvakim v'barchovos avak she'is asher o'avonashi. I'm looking for the one that my soul loves. Says the Medrash, who are we referring to? Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu is not to be found anywhere in the Haggadah, because it's Ani v'lo malach, Ani v'lo sarav, Ani v'lo shaliach. Just as Hashem carried out the Gulas Mitzrayim single-handedly, it was a sole mission, so too the Gula Asida is also going to be of a similar kind of nature. So, this introduction, as I said, of Halach Ma'anya, essentially accentuates the mitzvah tzedakah. That's the Beis Halevi writes, that mitzvah is going to go ahead, with that mitzvah we're going to be in the car of the Gula. You wrote his name down? Yes, he did. Okay. That's going to be Mekar of the Gula. Now, I just want to point out that you are probably familiar a little bit with the Haggadah. I just want to mention another comment on this Halach Ma'anya, the Achal of a son of the Arad in Mitzrayim. I thought that we ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim. I thought that matzah, the way it says later on, matzah zu shana echel al shum ma, what does it answer? Al shum she lo hispik b'tsegum shavosev l'achmetz. Isn't that what happened? We were rushed out of Egypt, hurried out of Egypt, because, as I explained to you earlier, Paro bipijama bim salaila, Paro bipijama. As I always point out, that night, if Hashem gave Paro 10 makos, so one would have thought he couldn't sleep. And then he tells him the makos, the 10 makos about to unfold. What does Paro do? He gets into his silk flannel pajamas and goes into his aristocratic bed.
He probably doesn't even touch here.
And in the middle of the night, the Makas Bechoras takes place, and Paro quickly runs to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Let my people go." That is to say, Paro now is essentially saying the same message that Moshe Rabbeinu said till now. Let my people go. Shalach Asamivi Avduni says, get out of here quickly. He ain't bais Hashem Shames. And he gave him a get shechua that night. But it's amazing that Paro, despite the makos, and Hashem is about to give the 10 makkah. So the reason why they're running out of there, and the reason why they don't have a chance to what make bread, is because what? Lo hisbik bitzegom shavoseinu
lachmetz. They left right away at night?
The Gemara in Brachas, you're obviously familiar with. Gula mal yiso lahavi ad till when? Adiyom. The Gemara in Brachas, I assume you're referring to that. You learned Brachas last year. You must review the... You hear the question I'm asking? Rav Elbogin? I'm asking a fundamental question. What are we talking about here? What's the mashmos here? That we also ate matzah in Parli Mitzrayim. And we know what Rashi says. Rashi quotes Lechem Oni. Rashi says, I think Rashi in Dvarim already mentions Lechem Oni. You have the Rashi in Dvarim over there? I don't have the Chumash on me, but that's the Chumash right over there. Ari, can I just bother you? Thank you. So, look in the Rashi over here in Dvarim. Pasuk says in Re'e, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, Lo socha alo av chameis, shivas yomim tocha alo av matzos lechem oni, ki b'chipozen yatzos av Eretz Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim how? B'chipozen. What does that mean?
Hastily.
B'hilu, as the Rambam writes, and the Rashi quotes it on the spot. Below his big bitsechol lahachmitz, you don't have a chance that your dough should what should rise should ferment. But then the previous Rashi, lechem oni lechem shemaskir esoni shenesano b'mitzrayim. So apparently, what do you see? That there are really two inyanim in matzah. Matzah is called lechem oni, which refers to avdus and shibud, as Rashi quotes here. And yet, matzah also has an element of what of geula to it. Ramban writes like that. Matzah actually has a double kind of connotation. The Abamanel also discusses this double connotation of matzah. But whatever the case is, you see apparently the matzah was also eaten in Mitzrayim. And even though later on as well, they ate matzah on the way out, but we have Olach Ma'andu De'achalo Avasona B'Arad Mitzrayim. I think I told you already more than once or twice that this notion of Olach Ma'andu, which of course is was eaten in the Mitzrayim, and then subsequently when they left Mitzrayim. But as I said, matzah is a double-edged, or has two aspects to it, two facets to it. One, of course, refers to what I just mentioned, the facet of, shall we say, avdus, and there's also a facet of shibud, and also a facet of geula that's associated with the matzah. So these are two aspects that I mentioned at the very beginning. Okay, I just want to comment also on something else, which is, I think, significant. There's something in the Kiddush. My father Shalom was very bothered by the following question. In the Kiddush that we say, not just on Pesach night, but we say it on every Yom Tov, and also we mention on Shabbos. The pasuk says, "Hashem Baruch Abadim Mikolom." So my father asked me, "Why here do we use a lashon Hashem Baruch Abadim Mikolom in the Kiddush, Raman Mikolashon, and yet in the davening the language is somewhat different? Atav Chartanu." Here's Lashon Yochid, there's Lashon Rabim. Why is there a chiluk between Tefillah and Kiddush as far as the Nusach Habrach is concerned? So I asked this question to our Soloveitchik Zatzal in Boston. On the spot, the Rav gave me the following answer. Only he could answer this question on the spot, Kedarka Bakodesh. There are two ways, if you want to accentuate an individual, I guess there are two ways of doing it. One is you take the individual and send him apart from the crowd. So you have a crowd of people, the masses of people, And then you have this individual who clearly is set apart from the crowd. But there's also another way that somehow, even if a person is amidst the crowd of people, the person is bolet. How does he become bolet? There are different ways of either through his dress, which is very unique, or he's bolet by virtue of his persona, personality, that somehow is very distinctive, or he's bolet by virtue of, shall we say, he is clearly behaving in a way that is going to accentuate him over above the crowd. So as Soloveitchik said, the greatness of Klal Yisrael, or the greatness of the Jew, is in both situations. On the one hand, we are clearly muvdol mikol ha'amin. We are totally separate from the rest of the world. Even though numerically we are inferior, we are insignificant, the Pasuk says in Zohar, ki atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amin, we are clearly Lilliputian relative to the nations of the world. But a Jew certainly is separate from all the other nations of the world. That we see in many, many respects. I don't think that requires our way of life, our entire hanhoga, our commitment to mitzvahs, our fealty, loyalty to the Torah, all that sets us apart from the rest of the world. Just our values, our hashkafa, our entire Weltschauung is of a totally different nature than that of the rest of the world. However, what is the godliness of a Jew? That even when he's found to be among the masses, you could also still recognize the Jew. You can recognize him for his unique, distinctive qualities. This, by the way, is one of our Soloveitchik's favorite themes, namely, Ger v'toshav anochi yivachem, in the Pasha Chaisara. There's a number of, a spate of articles that he wrote about in this vein, namely, we are both at the same time a Ger and a Tosha. We are able to interact with society at large, able to, shall we say, advance civilization, both in terms of technology, research, science, etc., etc. On the other hand, we still maintain our distinct, shall we say, faith, commitment, our emunah, our bitachon, our religious nature is markedly different. And that can be recognized whether we are set apart completely, which sometimes we are, or whether we are within, shall we say, a large group of people, but even within that large group of people, we are still set apart. And also, these are the tzvei dinim that I mentioned over here in the tefillah and the kiddush. I actually asked him even further, why is this particular one found over here in kiddush? Hashem in tefillah. The other one is found, he gave me a long drasha, I'm not going to get into it right now, but that's why, Asher Baruch Abanu Mikolam, Bramam Mikoloshem, is one setting, and then, Atavach Atonu Mikol Amin. Even though we are among many nations, and we are among many Lashonos, we can still be recognized and still hear what they're upset. We're still distinct in that respect. Now, I just want to mention something. Yeah.
The Rambam says that you...
The...
Rambam.
Thank you. We got it. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh
Bedvaro. Amen. I don't remember the exact Lashon, but it's Matzchil, Vignos, Messiah, but the...
It's a Gemara.
Right, so here it says in the Rabbi Adler, Rav Soloveitchik, that the primary sign of a free man is to make Kiddush, the ability to acknowledge that time is holy. It's for this reason that the Rambam emphasizes that we begin the Haggadah by stating...
The Rambam emphasizes that we begin the Haggadah by stating
that we left Egypt in a great haste. As we were leaving, we had learned to appreciate time. So that sounds like it's starting with...
Rav Soloveitchik on this said a number of shiurim on the subject that you just mentioned, namely the subject of time. You understand very well what's the distinction between... The Rav has a... I think Rabbi Adler Shlita quotes it over there, has a whole series of essays on how an Eved is different than a Bet Chorin. We became Bnei Chorin. So tell me some halachas that apply to an Eved. I'm sure it's mentioned over there in the Haggadah. Number one, an Eved has no concept of time. Why not? Because he is Eved Knani Gufa Kani, Meshubad 24/7 to his master. What else? Number two, what did Eved cannot do?
I don't think it says it here.
An Eved cannot...
Married?
Excellent. Obviously you do know what's written there.
It's not written here.
Oh. An Eved is not capable of engaging in marriage because he cannot really have a relationship with anyone else since he's Meshuvah to his master. Rav Soloveitchik listed a whole series of things where an Eved doesn't have his own autonomy, his own independence, his own freedom, his own ability to direct his own life. And Eved basically is 24/7. The Rav used to quote he quoted by Soloveitchik on this also, that what happened in Matan Torah is something very striking. You know, it says in the Pasuk, in the Chilta, in Pasha Yisrael, in the Hagdama to the Berak Yates over there, V'atem Tiyuli, Mamachas Kohan, V'gad Kodah, says in the Chilta, Tiyuli, Kinuyim Li, we became Avadim Tzachal Rishbochel. Hashem says in the Aser Sadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeis Yitzchak Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Correct? Avodai Heim below, Avodim La'avodim. We're no longer Avodim to other, shall we say, masters. Namely, we were Avodim in Egypt, now we're Avodim to Hashem. We became Koni to Hashem. But the question is, how does one become Koni to Hashem if one does not know what the nature of the commitment is? Klal Yisrael said what? Naaseh b'nishma. First we committed ourselves to do, and then to hear what it's all about. Isn't that a little bit Harav Elboyin? Punk fakert.
Yeah.
First you should hear what's going on.
Oh, for sure.
You don't just buy a lemon and then find out what the nature of that lemon is. Some people have that issue with cars. Anyway.
Sorry, wait.
So, the Beis Halevi quotes the Mechilta. And the Kasha, the Beis Halevi, is from Rambam. The Rambam says that a person who commits himself has to know what the nature of his commitment is. Why you commit yourself? Like we said, Nasa v'Nishma. The answer is, we did not commit ourselves. What did we do? We became Avodim. And you know what that is? 24-7, Shibud to his master. So we're no longer Meshuvah to whom? To Parah Melech Mitzrayim. We're now Meshuvah to the Yevishta. To the Yevani Shalom. To Kutcha B'Rechu. And therefore, there's no need to delineate to, shall we say, detail all the minutia, fill in all the dots, because it's an abdus, it's a commitment. So that's exactly what's being described over here in terms of this issue that Hashata Abdi, now we are Avonim, Lashon Abba, Be'arad Yisrael, Hashata, we are basically Hacha, Lashon Abba, B'nei Chorin, but B'nei Chorin in the sense that Ein Lecha B'nei Chorin L'Mishalsik B'Torah. There's freedom from and freedom to. Are you familiar with that distinction? How do you differentiate between the two? Yes?
It's a quote from Isaiah or something. Yeah.
That is, how do you know about that?
Isaiah.
What was that?
The last name?
46?
Isaiah 46.
Which Isaiah?
No, it's some secular guy.
Of course it is. Isaiah Berlin. But that's a fundamental distinction. Could you explain that distinction? Yes, go ahead.
That there's that, for example, I'll use the our example, but you see some time.
That, sure, that's what I'm referring
that,
to.
That there's this freedom from, which is freedom from the Mitzrayim, freedom from the Mitzrayim, from that Shibud, and freedom to, the freedom to serve Hashem, which is the biggest freedom of them all. Why? Because when there's, some people think that freedom is when there's no rules whatsoever. But then, when there's no rules, usually people run into trouble. And aside from that, they end up becoming, without realizing, slaves to society. Whereas freedom, when we can serve Hashem, we have that privilege. There's Seder order, right? Like the Pesach Seder. And when there's Seder, and we can achieve by gaining something through our freedom of becoming close to Hashem, fulfilling His will, then that's the greatest freedom.
So that's a yesod that's not only found, shall we say, with all due respect to Isaiah Berlin, who was a fine fellow, it's actually Kiman Mefurish in Rishon. But I have to show it to you, I don't have it in front of me right now, but this is discussed by the Ramban Chumash, by the Rambam Nebuchim, by Rapsad Yagom, many, even Ezra talks about it, many discuss this yesod, but he expressed it in a very beautiful way, this gentleman, and therefore what Rabban Ashlita mentioned is exactly correct. But back over here, because if you remember, as you pointed out a second ago, that Masla Benus, after the Manishtana, we then say the following. Avodim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim, I just want to comment on this. And now, Vayatzein Hashem Elokeinu Misham, as you pointed out, freedom, as you put it, from. However, it continues. V'ilo Tzakadosh Baruch Hu Zavoseinu B'Mitzrayim, had Hashem not taken us out, we would still be enslaved. So all the Rishonim missed the kasha. What does that mean? So there are several answers to this kasha. We would still be enslaved? We wouldn't have escaped by now? Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years later?
We would have assimilated.
So there are two pshatim. One is what Harav Elboyin Shlita said, and the other is what the Ramban said. The Ramban quotes the Medrash that Egypt was a fortress. No slave could escape. I don't know if you're aware, there are some communist countries, Aragam Azeh, that are very similar nature. It's impossible, Kemat, to get out of those countries. But the real pshat is what was just mentioned by Harav Elboyin. And I want to show you that that's embedded in a very fascinating expression which we have in our davening. You probably remember, Mi Mitzrayim Yaltonu Hashem Elokeinu U'Mibes Avodim P'tisano. So the Briska say, Tzvei Dinim. Mi Mitzrayim, what's between Geula and Pidyon? Mi Mitzrayim Yaltonu Hashem Elokeinu U'Mibes Avodim P'tisano. What's the difference? It's identical. Aren't they synonymous? Mi Mitzrayim Yaltonu, what's the answer, Harav Elbogin? One refers to, as you said, the physical...
Being redeemed from the house of the slaves.
So, obviously, that refers to what? A certain mindset, a certain mentality. And, if you will...
Been there for a while.
That is correct. So, had we not been, shall we say, taken out by Hashem Yisbarach, we would still be Meshubah to Baruch Mitzrayim. In terms of this mentality, the mindset of an Eved, the mentality of an Eved, we would still have the freedom, perhaps, from, but not freedom to. Ramban Kemat says in Beforish, but I would say even further, just one second, that you undoubtedly are aware, because actually we see it in our davening quite often, this is so this idea. What the Torah has given us, as you know, and Alex just said it a moment ago, very beautifully, that a person who is without values, or without a direction, without a clear kivun in his life, or her life, such a person is essentially an Eved. And who is the one who says it very clearly? The Ramban, as I said in Chumash, that he writes, and also the Rishonim write this very clearly, most people are avodim to their guf, are avodim to their sensual desires, they're avodim to their primal nature, to the animalistic elements that are inherent in every single person. You know, it's interesting, the Navi, Yeshayahu, has a number of prokim devoted to Masa Moab, Masa Bavel. Why are those prokim found there? They're not really relevant. The answer is all of us have in us elements of Moab, elements of Amalek, elements of Bavel, and each one, each country has its own nether elements, and that's exactly what the Torah comes to, unshackle us from all those elements. That's what it says here. We would still be Meshubah to Parv Mitzrayim in terms of not having the Ruchnias of Torah, etc. And many Mepharshim say that over here. And that's why I told you already, the language of B.T.S. Mitzrayim is very cumbersome, and the way our Salesic understood it is an obligation of Talmud Torah. It's the experience of engaging our intellects and analyzing. That's the Sapa B.T.S. Mitzrayim. Kalamar, but the Sapa B.T.S. Mitzrayim, Rezim Shubah, implies, as I said, that element, namely the element of engaging in a Talmud Torah experience par excellence. Now, I just want to mention that. With reference to that, that you undoubtedly are familiar with the what is quoted actually over here in the Haggadah, because I think this is also relevant to this issue. Let me just find the language. When the Dalai Banam I mentioned, we said already a few times that this is an issue of Chanukah Na'al Pidarka. Each child has to be approached individually, in sync with their proclivities, with their nature, with their ethos, with their personality, and obviously different strategies that can be used to attract different children. But Mitzrayim, there's a certain mentality. You're familiar with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said they had a slave mentality, a slave pathology. The Ibn Ezra's a kasha, a famous kasha. He doesn't understand how is it possible when Klal Yisrael were in a very beleaguered situation. V'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem. And we have the Yam in front of us, Mitzrayim behind us. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Asked Ibn Ezra, he doesn't understand. We are a nation 600,000 strong. We can't take on a few chariots. Paro sent, what does he send over there? Parashim. Do you recall that? Vayim shalach paro esam. V'lalachim alokim darach eretz plishtim. V'yamar alokim pen yinachim am. V'yosim v'chama v'shavim mitzvayma. And so what does Paro do? He realizes that Klal Yisrael, that he let them out. And now, of course, once again, his heart is hardened. What the Pasuk said at the beginning of Mishalach. And so what does he say? That he sends Sheish Mils Recha Bacha Bechol Recha Mitzvah. 600,000 strong plus cannot take on this group. The Havdil, Mashal Amad Dova Dome. I'm once traveling in a New York City subway train situation. And I'm sitting and learning Chumash at nighttime. Suddenly, a gentleman comes with a knife on the train. You cannot imagine the panic that was set in. The train is jam-packed, a congested New York City subway train. I imagine in one car there were at least 100 people, I'm sure of it. And this guy comes with a knife, albeit a rather lengthy knife. And so I said to myself, what's the problem? Let us go and simply pulverize it. 100 of us? What happened? People started running for their lives to the next car. Luckily, the car door was open in between the two cars of the train. So I said to myself, if they're all going to skittle-daddle out of here, I don't plan on doing this myself. So I skittle-daddle with them. Before you know it, someone pulled the emergency cord, and all of a sudden we were plunged into darkness. That was a brilliant move. There was panic beyond panic. Screaming and shrieks and hysteria. But I couldn't understand it. Had they left the light on, we simply would have overcome this chap and done what had to be done. So the Ibn Ezra asks, what happened over here in Mitzrayim? Answered Ibn Ezra, that is slave mentality. He says it two or three times. They were, what is a slave mentality? Someone who has no sense of verve, no effrontery, no backbone, no aggressiveness. He is totally passive, totally docile, totally subservient, completely immobilized, incapable of functioning. That's the mentality that the Torah describes over here. So had Hashem not taken us down, we would still be unfortunate in the sense that we'd be committed to that mindset, that mentality. And that's actually found in a number of places in the Haggadah. We have Ramazan to that. I want to mention one last thing in this context. I heard from my Rebbe here, Avtzidon Kanatapsky, the following pshat. I don't know if I have time to say it over, but maybe briefly, if you remember, what does this mean? Shapar logazar el ascharim, but Lovin bikish lakar sakol. Not pshat. Lovin wanted to uproot everything. So my Rebbe suggested, at the end of Parshas Vayetze, you remember that Lovin and Yaakov came together, and the idea is to have a bris, to have some sort of a pact, P-A-C-T, to consummate a pact between Lovin and Yaakov. Do you recall that? This pact is very strange. I can only briefly describe the pact. Lovin says to Yaakov, the daughters are my daughters, the sons are my sons, the rechush is all mine, everything is mine. Classic, shall we say, shyster, conniving chap, that Lovin. But let's go make a bris. So Yaakov takes a stone, by your man Matseva, builds a Matseva. Yaakov says to his family, look to Avonim, gather stones, they make a gal, a pile, they eat there. Lovin gives it one name, Gigar Sadusa, the only time I make it sound like Chumash. The Gemara Megillah talks about it. Yaakov Karlo Galei, he calls it one name, he calls it another name. Lovin said, this gal should be an aid between us, therefore he calls it Galei. Lovin gives him a Musa Shmuz, don't you dare maltreat my daughters, and etc., etc. Yaakov then says to Lovin, after Lovin gives his whole spiel, before Yaakov actually says what he said, but Lovin in effect indicates, don't you dare violate this pact. And then Yaakov swears in the name of Aviv Yitzchak, and what does Lovin do? Swears in the name of the God of Abraham, the God of Nachar. And then Yaakov goes ahead and Bayizbach Yaakov Zebach. What is the nature of, what is going on here? So my Rebbe suggested, the bris, the pact that's being consummated, it depends really what the nature of this bris is. There are two types of bris in the Tanakh. There's one bris designed to bring people together, and one bris designed to separate people. Give me an example of a bris that's designed to bring people together. The bris of?
Ben
Absar. Two, the bris of? Matan Torah. Three, the bris of? Oh, what was the nature of that bris?
Make sure they never come in contact again?
Correct, that they separate from each other. So here, there's a machlokes between Lovin and Yaakov, what the nature of the bris is. From Yaakov's standpoint, good fences make good neighbors, said the poet. And Yaakov has had enough of Lovin because he realized being with Lovin, Lovin is full of chicanery, connivory, debauchery, thievery, skullduggery, every kind of ari that exists, Lovin is all about. And Yaakov is ishtab, yashar, he's completely glatt and honest and ethical, moral probity and the like. The opposite of Lovin. So Yaakov realizes I have to separate from this conniving chap, from this Lovin, from this nubble, Lamed bet nun, nun bet lamed, that's what it says in the Zayah and other Svarim. You could actually go ahead and change the matter. So what does Lavan call the place? Yigar Sadusa. He realizes that Asafa comes from Yaakov. The word Yigar means Lashon Ogar. It says, Leich HaMamala Atzel Mishle. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Reid Rachel Vachacham. Be one wise. Asher Ogar Vachayit Slachmo. The land gathers all of the chitim that he needs. I'll make a long story short. Yigar Sadusa, he wants to gather the troops together. He wants once again to reunite with Yaakov and let's be together. Good family, etc., etc. Yaakov calls it Galei. Good fences make good neighbors. Secondly, Yaakov swears in whose name? Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. Yitzchak is no longer connected to Laban. Laban tries to, shall we say, invoke the father of whom? Of Abraham, or the father of Nachat Terach, which is common to both families. Once again, Laban wants to combine both groups. And finally, Yaakov does Shechita. Shechita separates, shall we say, us from them. Yaakov's intention is to separate. Laban wants to bring together. That's the pshat. He said, Laban bikesh lakar asakol. It would have been chas v'shalom catastrophic had Yaakov remained with Laban, because he did not produce his family, Yud Be Shiftei Ka, with the commitment to Hashem is brought. That's the pshat over here. Laban Bigger Shaka Sakoa, very unique. B'chudosh Shikab Pshat B'kitzer, what we're saying here, since you, I know you have to, Zevon Zivon Azega. Anyway, so the Haggadah has to be studied carefully. I probably will tomorrow spend a lot more time in the Haggadah. I just actually began this evening. I have a lot to say about this, a few hundred, probably thousand hours. We can talk about the Haggadah, and really it's kedai to study the Haggadah also among the other things I told you, but if you have a chance to really study the Haggadah, it would be worth your while. Shikach, and I stop because Daniel has to leave.
I'm right here.
Your name is Daniel?
Yeah.
Happened in the end of the subway story. So, turn this off. Thank you.
You will not believe what happened. You get the lights back on?